Hi there, I'm Jack Humphrey and you're listening to High Performance, the podcast that shows you it's within. Your ambition, your purpose, your truth, it's all there. We just help unlock it by turning the lived experiences of the planet's highest performers into your life lessons. And this is a slightly different episode where Professor Damien Hughes, my learned co-host of the podcast, is going to speak to my mum about life as my mum, as a parent, as a wife, as a daughter. It's to celebrate Mother's Day, and we would love to shout out all the amazing mums and the mums to be and the dads who have to act as mums and the people who represent parents in everyone's lives. You are invaluable and incredible, and I really hope you enjoy this episode of the High Performance Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, welcome along everyone to a special episode of the High Performance Podcast, and this is celebrating mothers. We love mothers. We love Mother's Day. Mother's Day is very soon, and we just thought it would be a really interesting opportunity, Damien, to look at high performance through the lens of a mum.
Well, one of the things that we've often speak about, Jake, is that there's research on this that talks about the three things that impact the quality of your life are parents, postcode, and education. So the influence of all three of them can't be underestimated. And I think so many of our guests have told us about the power of parents or guardians in their lives in terms of shaping their worldview, creating opportunities, lifting them up when we have difficult moments. And I think it's only appropriate that we delve a little bit deeper into it.
Do you remember when we first started High Performance, you and I would have that conversation before an episode where I'd go, what are you most looking forward to about today's episode? Do you remember? And then we would do the interview. So let's revisit that. Like, what are you most interested in when it comes to today's conversation?
Well, I was going back and revisiting our episode with Sean Wayne recently, the England Rugby League coach, and he had that great line that how you do anything is how you do everything. And I love the idea that one of the things of how you can tell somebody's character is look at the people that have helped shape them, whether it's their life partner that they've chosen to associate with, but also the role of a parent and how their outlook shapes our own. And given that we've been working together now for 3.5 years on this podcast, I'm looking forward to delving a bit deeper into how your worldview has been shaped.
Because on today's High Performance Podcast, in celebration of Mother's Day and mums around the world, my mum is here.
Hello. This is very exciting. Very bizarre.
How out your comfort zone are you right now?
Oh, quite a step out. Yes.
So listen, I'm going to lead on this because I want to interview you, but I also want to then get Jake's interpretation of it, because I think that view will be fascinating. So we start all these interviews with the same question. And I know you listen to this on your dog walks, which is, what is high performance to you?
I really don't know what high performance is as far as a parent is concerned, is the honest truth. There isn't a manual that says how to do it. It's suck it and see. It's experiment. And sometimes if you don't take any notice of what you're doing, it doesn't work. It could so easily fail. And I'm sure there are occasions when it has failed. But I just think as long as you're a loving family, which luckily we are, and maybe you just keep an eye on things and you talk to your kids a lot, and even more important, you listen to them. I do find it a challenging question as to what high performance is. I do my best.
But what I love is that you've said I don't know, and then you've broken it down into at least five really important elements that I think you're almost not acknowledging the importance of them to yourself. Jake, what would you say is your answer to that question?
Well, look, we had a motto as a family growing up. It got mentioned, still gets mentioned, which is roots and wings. And I think that that's where my mum and dad were absolutely incredible for us as children. I remember going on, did you listen to the episode I did with Rangan Chatterjee where I went on his podcast?
Yes.
And, you know, I was busy saying, oh, I had a very normal upbringing. You know, it wasn't like a world-class upbringing because we didn't come from money and we weren't like, you know, we didn't have an entrepreneurial mindset and we, you know, all of these other things. And actually, it was in that interview, Rangan said, I think you absolutely had a world-class upbringing. You need to change your view that just because it wasn't different or, I don't know, like we weren't a family and we're still not really a family, are we? Where it's like, be not be the best, but like, you know, go and do amazing things and change the world. And it was
encouraged you to strive to be better than anybody else, as good as you could be, was actually fine.
Yeah. And why was that, do you think?
I think as long as you are happy in what you're doing, I never wanted you to feel that you were under pressure to be the first in the swimming race. Do you remember the bicycle race, Jake?
Oh, I remember. Well, basically everything I did was, it wasn't great. Well, let's be honest, I wasn't great at anything.
Not sporty really. Things, you're very good at delivering newspapers. Sporty things.
That's the level I've got.
You always aspired to do. And we had to say, it doesn't matter. You know, go and do the bike race. And if you come last, it doesn't matter. Somebody's got to be, and it's fine.
What was I like then when I used to, because I messed everything up, right? I didn't excel, did I, at anything. We're going right up to when I was in 18, probably.
Yes.
What was I like then when I failed and messed up?
And you cried a bit on the bike race. I do remember seeing this child weeping.
So how old
weeping.
Was Jake then, Liz?
14, maybe. He joined a cycle club and all he ever wanted as a little child, he never wanted anything else but a bicycle. He had a bike until he was 4 that had been welded by his uncle endless times because he wore it out.
No money for a new bike.
When he was 5, he got a really smart new bike, which lasted for years. And he was desperate to be in a club, to be in a group when we moved to Norfolk. So he joined a Fit Signs cycling club. Yeah. And he, in his mind, was going to be the winner of the race and it was going to be fantastic and, you know, boys' own stuff. And he didn't. I mean, it was a really sort of sad thing to see this lad just getting further and further back on the tour round. It was a housing estate, wasn't it, with roundabouts. But, you know, it doesn't actually do you any harm. It does teach you that you're not somebody out of a film or a magazine or a story. You're just an ordinary person. And it was fine. I don't think it actually
did. I cry
mattered.
During the race?
You did, yes. I'm sorry to say.
I had totally forgotten that memory.
Have you?
And now I remember I was crying while I was racing,
yes.
Wasn't I? I just was
realisation
like,
struck, didn't
because
it?
I wasn't very good at much and was not successful at anything. I remember now, and this is a weird sort of thing to suddenly remember the emotion. I remember thinking, this is the day.
Yeah.
This is the night. Yeah. This is the day that I show you all what I'm made of. And then I had total disbelief that after, it was like 9 laps around a course or whatever, halfway through and I'm so far behind. I was in total disbelief that this had happened. Then I started crying and still raced
still,
the rest of the
still,
race.
You still completed
you still
it. You didn't. You didn't.
And that was the important
bail out.
Bit.
It was very important, yes.
So I love the equanimity in which you're dealing with that, of you telling Jake that it wasn't important to be first or top of the class. It was just about being happy. Now, I just want to jump forward a bit because I know a little bit about this story about when Jake experienced being bullied at school.
Yes.
Now, as a parent, that speaks to your worst fears. Yes, tell us.
It is.
How did you handle that?
Well, it was bad luck. We moved house at the wrong time as far as friendship groups were concerned. He went into a primary school. Would you be nine?
Yeah, probably. 9 years old.
And all the little boys had their friendship groups. They played football together. And this lad came in and said, oh, I can play football. And I think he perhaps was a bit, you know, a bit cocky in their eyes. I don't know. And they really very soon realised he couldn't play football. He didn't have, you know,
a
right and left foot. And very quickly, and you were a bit anxious, and I remember you used to sort of twitch your nose a bit and rub your nose, and bullying just comes out of nowhere. And it's generally very nice children who can be involved in bullying their friends, and you can't get away from it somehow. And he went to secondary school, it continued at Scouts. Mm. And how many hours did we sit on the stairs?
Awful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Tell us, Liz.
Because
it sounds awful, but I'm interested in that he's obviously emerged from that with some scars, but generally quite healthy.
I think
but that's
more positive than scars now. But at the time, it was sad.
But tell us what you did to help create that result.
We talked a lot. We talked an awful lot, and we encouraged him to believe that it wasn't his fault. It was just something that was happening, and he couldn't actually make it right. And as a teacher, I knew that children who are bullied have to change dramatically before it stops. Something has to be dramatic. And we eventually went to the school and said, you know, this is making him really unhappy. It's making us unhappy. And it shouldn't be happening. And so the next day in assembly, a member of staff stood up and said, right, Jake Humphrey is being bullied. It's got to stop. To the whole class.
Awful.
Or the whole year group, wasn't it?
I think it was either a year group or it could have even been one of those big all-school assemblies.
Yes.
And they made, you know, you sit on the floor cross-legged.
Yeah.
Can Jake Humphrey stand up?
Mm.
You're the kid already being bullied. Mm. You need to stop bullying
Jake
Humphrey.
Didn't help at all, did it?
Well, can you imagine?
Wow. So you're a teacher and you hear that. So,
yes.
So how do you process that to be able to deal with it in a responsible way?
Well, when it's your own child, it's very different from if I was in school. You know, if I was at school, I mean, I used to give safe space for children in my classroom at lunchtime and before school and so on, you know, open door always. But that doesn't stop the bullying. It doesn't change other people's behaviour. And that's the really difficult thing. But all was well because we moved house. Jake went to the local school, came home. Wow, it's fantastic. People are so nice. And I've made a friend who is still a friend. And the whole thing just was curtains closed.
Yeah. Friend. That was enough
time. But it was.
No, but it was, though. To have one person at school was like, oh,
yeah,
got someone, you know.
Mm.
It's difficult.
And the school was great. And I think we actually did say to them, you know, there have been issues with friendship groups. Just keep an eye on him for us.
Mm. My memory is like, I remember sitting on the stairs at Bishop's Close, our old house.
Mm.
Seeing you and Dad in the kitchen and you're like happy and everything's fine. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've got to tell them. But you don't want to tell your parents how bad it is because it makes them so sad.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. But that's the bit I'm intrigued about how you handled it, Liz, because we're parents ourselves. Mm. I've got two children. I know you've got two grandchildren to Jake and Harriet. And I think sometimes that we're living it and feel it's very raw when you're in a moment.
Yes.
But I'm interested in what advice or wisdom you'd pass on to the next generation of parents about how do you allow children to, like, one of the great quotes we use on this is that what's hard for you isn't necessarily bad for you, but it doesn't make it easy for you either. What advice can you give to anyone listening to this?
Well, you know, I mean, you've got parents on two sides of the issue, haven't you? You've got parents who've got children who are doing the bullying or being associated with it, because, you know, it's generally one kid and their little cohort join in. And then you've got the child who is actually being bullied. And it is, all you can do is just keep, you know, having their back and talking to them a lot and really trying hard to encourage other things out of school, out of home. But, you know, you went to Sea Scouts and it's all the same people, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird how it sort of spreads. I mean, what is the right thing to say for parents who are listening to this, whose kids are going through it at the time? I mean, the biggest thing is just that sense that you're really safe at home. That was the big thing for me.
Yeah.
And it is, I was quite old, you see. I was at high school. I wasn't like a, 6 or 7 year old struggling with this.
I mean, you just need to know that it isn't you, it's them.
Yeah.
And you're actually a valuable person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need to try and take their loneliness away from them, because that is the hardest thing. Because you can tell your brother and sister, but obviously they're your brother and sister, so they take the mickey, right? As they would. And you can't tell anyone at school. And then at weekends, what do you do at weekends? Because you haven't got any friends. So everyone else is doing stuff and you hear the conversation, we're doing this, we're doing that. There's a party and you're not invited. And that loneliness is hard. So anything you can say to a young person to let them know that, all right, I know you want a load of mates, but we're here for you. That for me was really powerful, that mum and dad were like, because you also feel weirdly like, am I going to get told off because I'm in this, you know what I mean? Not that you've done anything wrong, but that's how it happens, isn't it? You feel like you're the problem. So you think, oh, if I tell my parents, are they going to judge me in some way? So I think never make it anyone that's been bullied feel like they've done anything wrong. That's the single worst thing you can say. Well, what have you said? How have you acted?
Yeah.
You know, because even like when mum goes, he tried to sort of claim he was good at football, that sort of rankles a bit with me, because all I was trying to do was
get in.
Hey guys, I'm new.
Yes.
Of course you're going to say you can play football, because at that time, that was how you judged the kids.
Yes.
The ones that could play football were right up there. Mm. So I think that was really important. And just that reminder that everything passes.
Mm.
And that one
day... But when you're in it, that's hard to take on board, isn't it?
But I now sit here and I am glad that I went through this, because actually you learn about people, you learn about your emotions. I am pleased it happened.
Yeah.
As hard as it was at the time.
Mm.
Well, that brings us to an item where you feature in the high performance tour that we do, Liz, because Jake does a very powerful bit where he speaks about some of the toxicity of modern life, especially life on social media. And there's a heartbreaking voice note that features you in it, responding to some of the messages that Jake's getting. Now, for you and Rex, you're not people that engage in that kind of toxicity. You're not that people that engage with negativity in many ways, it sounds like. And yet, through your son, you've been forced to confront it.
Yes.
How does that affect you?
Oh, it makes me very cross. Initially, very cross, because it's so wrong. It's just pathetic. And then I think, actually, you know, these people would never say anything like that to your face, would they? I'm sure people don't stop you in the street and say. And you just have to think, they're just sad people and there's no point worrying about it. You can't do anything about it. But it is hurtful. Even if you know you're doing a really good job, you're doing your best, you're trying to be as good a person as you can, it is really hurtful. And I suppose it's perhaps linking a bit back to being young and being bullied, maybe. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
So what advice do you give to Jake and to your other children when they do experience some of those kind of messages, that kind of...
I guess I would say it's their problem, not your problem.
I think that's really helpful advice, actually. And I remember having that conversation. You know, when Twitter first started, it was so amazing and positive, and then it became so negative as it is today. And I remember mum saying exactly that, her saying, you probably don't even remember having this conversation, but I remember saying to you, I don't understand what's happening. Suddenly everything on Twitter is horrible, whereas everything on Twitter used to be nice. And actually mum was the person who said, look, there's so much sadness and upset and anger and frustration out there. You know, people are angry with the government and they're angry with global warming and they're angry with members of their family and they're angry with their boss. And she said, this is just an outlet for their anger. And I think the exact words you said to me once, all these messages you get, they're all about them and they're not about you. Do you remember saying that?
No.
And that was and that was really nice, because I was like, yes, that it suddenly, it means that it's nothing to do with you. You know, people saying these things has nothing to do with you. And that's why that really is on the high performance tour, when I talk about, I translate one of the tweets into Spanish and I say, look, it's the same tweet in another language, because I can't understand it. It has no impact. And then that feeds right back into the central theme of high performance often, which is your reaction matters an awful lot more than the things that happen. And I would echo that and say to mum, you know, don't you be triggered by it either. You know, I know it's horrible, it's your kid and you know that he's just trying his best and working hard, but
I would just say that what affects me is if you're affected by it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in the person who said it.
So can I ask you then, as the mother of somebody that has chosen a public profile like Jay Carr's, because you've also got two other children that have chosen not to go down a similar route.
Good job, isn't it?
Well, I'm just interested in terms of how you deal with that, because I remember Jake telling me that sometimes people, when they speak to you, when they say, how's the family, they're actually often mean, how's Jake? Yes. I've seen him on TV.
Yes.
And Jake told me a really beautiful story about how you always bring in everybody the other ones. And yes. I'm interested in just your whole philosophy around that.
I love my kids all equally. I love my grandchildren all equally. They say, who's your favourite today, Grandpa?
They ask you.
I see such amazing things in my other two kids, what they've done, how they're doing it, how hard they work, and what nice people they are. So Jake isn't special in the family. He has a big sister who, when he first started work, was very keen on making sure he knew his place in the family. And the fact we were very pleased for him, but he was still the boy who laid on the sofa and ate crisps and nothing changes. And I would honestly say to anybody, he is exactly the same as he's always been.
But that's not an easy thing to achieve. I know you're saying it as a very matter of fact, but...
It is matter of fact, really it is. I mean, I remember him having an interview for Blue Peter, and I was at work and I don't know how I got the message. This is just bizarre. How can this possibly be happening? And that could have been the point where he, you know, went off and didn't get the job, as it happens. But you could have gone off then and been lost to the family, lost to everybody and everything you knew. And, you know, that just has never happened. So it's not, this is no credit on me. It's all.
No, I don't think it is all credit on me and no credit on you. I mean, you know, I remember standing in the pit lane in Australia for my first ever Formula One race in 2009. And, you know, I've got David Coulthard and Eddie Jordan alongside me. I've got A-list celebrities left, right and centre. I've got a producer to impress. I was given a one-year contract when I started the Formula One job, and my boss said to me, the first 10 seconds you go on air, everyone will make a decision and that will determine what happens next. They'd not give me much of a pay rise from my job on CBBC. Do you remember? I was thinking this new job was going to make my like financial future, and it wasn't to be, but they knew I wouldn't say no, whatever they offered. And 2 minutes before we go on air for the first time, I rang mum and dad. And I did that, didn't I? Every show, I think, before and after. Mm. It just grounded me. It reminded me where I'd come from. And you know the story, I got into TV because I failed my A-levels, which was probably a tricky day for mum, because, and I'm still a bit annoyed with her, because after we'd got the A-level results, I remember her saying, how can I hold my head up in the staff room?
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
But yeah. I'm thinking, hold on a minute, sod the bloody staff you work with.
My school.
I don't know what my future holds now. All my plans have gone out
the
window.
I was cross.
I know.
But cross with who? With
Cross
Jake.
With Jake, yes, because I think he should have worked harder. He should have known. He was a big lad. He was full of confidence and chat, and he should have known he was going to fail his A-levels.
So once you processed that anger,
yes,
how did you pick him up and
go to
and
the head teacher, ask to redo your A-levels and come back to school, which he did.
Mum was always very much action solves the problem here. So right. I remember, and I never excelled at school. So I remember when I was behind in year 10 and we got my end of year report. Do you remember I hid my end of year report under my mattress until it felt like a good day to share it with them. So like good things had happened. We also had three boxes, which was good, average and poor. Do you remember we'd done it?
Yes.
So I tip-exed out all the ones that were in the poor and moved them into the good, thinking they won't notice that. Yeah. How stupid is that? And I remember going, oh, they must have just got them in the wrong boxes and tip-exed out. And mum then, I can still see it now. You know those little notebooks with the ring on the top?
Yeah, yeah.
She wrote on the front of this notebook, this is just before the summer holidays, you know, the 6 weeks off in the summer. After Jacob's school report, I would like you to fill in here, please, all the work which has been done to a low standard or that he's missed. And we will do everything we can over the summer to catch up. And then the rule was, do you remember that summer holiday? I was not allowed out with any of my mates or anyone else.
And you had mates then? You had lots of mates.
This is when we'd moved schools by now. Things were much better. I was not allowed out until after lunch. And the whole morning for the whole summer holiday was catching up. My work ethic comes from the work ethic at home, that work solves pretty much every issue.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So Liz, you brought some items that are related to your son and to parenting. Well,
and I haven't seen these.
These were items that I thought were going to be, you know, following the path of Jake's life. Do I give them to him? These two are the roots and wings.
Oh, there they are. So that is my grandpa. Oh, how amazing is that photograph? That makes you emotional, right?
Why? So what year would that be, Liz?
1932, I think.
Why does that get you?
He's handsome.
He's handsome, he is.
And young. And he wasn't on active service. He joined the Coldstream Guards back as soon as war broke out, but they said, no, we've got no police officers. So he was shipped back to Derbyshire Police Force.
Wow. And go on.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that really shows you wings from a young, the other one should have been first, really. The fact that he came from a very, very sort of poor village family with no money, no prospects, and you couldn't even stay on at school because his family couldn't afford to send him. And he, you know, had dreams and met them.
So tell us, what were the qualities or the characteristics of your dad that you see in both yourself and then in your children and grandchildren?
I'd say attention to detail, man.
Yes.
Do you remember?
He's quite a sticker. Not
a hair out of place.
And his shoes were polished every day. His laces were straight every day.
So how you do anything is how you do everything.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah. When I do a TV show now and I clean my shoes before a football match, I do them myself. When I was working in Formula One, traveling the world, I would iron my own shirt in the Winnebago. Like, no one else irons that shirt. No one, like, he was Mr.
But
attention
he was very kind. He was a very kind chap.
Yeah. And then the other photo is my granddad. So that's my dad's dad. Basically a pretty common pose for him, sitting in his wheelchair, wearing a sun hat, eating food.
He loved to barbecue, didn't he?
And can I ask a related question to that? Because Jake has spoken powerfully in the past about his grandmother's suicide.
Yes.
In relation to that. And Jake spoke about the impact it had on him. I'm interested in the impact that it had on you at that time.
Do you want to make me cry?
I know. Hard.
She was lovely.
I'll get you a tissue.
She was the nicest woman, wasn't she?
Yeah, amazing.
She was great to me. How could I cry after all these years? She's much missed. She was lovely. But she just couldn't. Her husband died her dad died. Would her it son? Be 6 months? Six months later. Yep. And she just couldn't see the future, which was really sad. She was good fun. She
left a note for the family. It was written on a calendar, wasn't it? The back of a calendar.
Can't remember.
And I remember in it, you know, she just wrote, just go and do amazing things. And I think we all carry that now.
That was the message that she left for you. That was her legacy.
It's a shame she's missed it all.
Yes. Good old Ina.
You can tell we're proper criers in our family.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
It feels like yesterday, doesn't it?
It does.
So what's your next item, Liz?
This is to do with cycling. I mean, I just said something from China. I don't know why I've still got these. We used to go for bike rides as a family. We lived in Peterborough. There are cycle rides everywhere, and there's somewhere called Ferry Meadows, which would it be about 4 miles away? Fantastic park area. So we had Rachel and Jacob, but Tom was too little to put Thomas on, so he's...
Oh my goodness.
How beautiful.
I think we used to... they're dreadful.
Do you remember I was surprised everyone knew our names? Yes. Remember?
Hi, Jacob.
I put these names on their back.
Preparing you for
people
fame.
People used to call... Hi, Jacob.
So how do we know all these people on this bike ride?
So they were just...
We cycled everywhere, didn't we?
Well, this is... Dad used to take you to nursery on the back of the bike, didn't he? And cycling was a great thing living in Peterborough because it was so easy. It was so flat. And Jake's abiding passion was cycles until... You were about 16, I suppose.
Yeah, probably. Until I got my bike nicked out the shed.
Yes.
So even that bike race your mum described earlier, that didn't kill your passion for it?
No, I think I did a couple more. That was the first one, I think. I still did
you
a couple more after that.
You used to ride out with them, didn't you? But yes.
And then eventually I did, yeah. Eventually I just used to go on a Sunday, sort of do the training rides, but decided that maybe the competing wasn't for me.
Do you still cycle now?
Yeah, not much, but still dream I could compete in the Tour de France.
But when you see those bibs there, what's your reaction to them?
Just like all being together. I like seeing the names like Tom and Rachel on there. Like, you know, we were
like a little family of ducks, weren't we?
Yeah. But we didn't do anything extravagant. Like, we had no money really as a family growing
up,
did we?
No.
I mean, I think I'm right in saying my dad, what was dad's salary when he actually retired at the end of his career? It was like 30 something grand a year, you know, at the end of his whole career. You know, we were not a rich family at that time. So
that's a long time ago.
Yes, but mum was, you know, part-time teacher, dad charity worker.
I was full-time for the last 20 years.
Were you full-time when we were little kids?
No. Till we moved to Norfolk.
So I remember those days. And just like, so there was no extravagance, right, to keep us happy. The stuff to keep us happy was, let's go on a bike ride. Let's play in the garden. I mean, the other big thing that I sort of remember when I think of this period and all the way through my whole upbringing is hard work. Like, and I struggle with this a bit now. Home is like a place that I work all the time. I find it hard to be at home and to not have a list of jobs and tick them off. I mean, I remember constantly every single weekend, mum and dad would sit down on a Saturday morning with an A4 paper with a list. I'm like, Liz, what are we going to tick off this weekend, wouldn't you? Yeah. And dad would then go through the day ticking off the jobs.
We also had lots of jobs to do for our jobs, didn't we?
Yes, you know? it was a work ethic house. Dad would work late. I remember him often coming home and having his like food on his lap, wouldn't he? Mum did marking and homework for her teaching job all evening and all weekend. And we did fun stuff, but we didn't just walk around Norwich, did we? Dad didn't take me to watch football, did he? Weekends were a place for work.
Which we used to sometimes, when we moved to Norfolk, have a supper at the local pub on a Friday night at the end of the working week. But that was about the most extravagant.
Grafters.
But when we think about the parents set the example, our children are absorbing messages, even if you don't explicitly tell them. What do you see in Jake and in Tom and in Rachel that you think you can draw a direct line to you and Rex and the example you set?
I don't know whether I can do that because you can't look at yourself, can you? I can't objectively think I did this or this or I failed to do that. But I do think that, your grandma Ina was very influential. She was a sparky, feisty person. She had loads of friends. She really enjoyed her social life. She enjoyed most things she did. And I do see Rachel, our daughter, has got lots of Grandma Ina's traits. She loves to garden. Grandma, you know, she would say, I'm going to have that tree up. And she would dig a tree up, wouldn't she? Just because she thought she could. And
that's probably actually where
Very determined.
When we reflect on her, and it feels really raw and painful, it's because of that probably, isn't it? Because she was so full of like life and like, you know, she just did amazing things. She made stuff happen. Willpower.
Yes.
Was on. And I think all three of us have got that. You know, my brother runs his own business. That's hard work. My sister works for the NHS. That's hard work. You know, I mess around on the telly. You could probably argue it's not such hard work, but there's an element of that.
Work hard.
You know, I think that willpower and that hard, like the work ethic from my mum and dad is something that I'll forever be grateful
for. It sound very dull, doesn't it?
No, but I don't think it is. When I see those bibs, I'll tell you the effects it has on me. I remember before I became a parent, my wife and I went on, because we said, we don't know what we're doing. And we knew somebody that ran like a parenting skills course. And we just went to find out, what do you do as this? A mum and dad? Yeah. And there was an exercise that reminds me of where they asked us all to write down our strongest memories of being a child and the impact of it. And when we collated them, there was two things that were common. One, it was all low cost activities. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything. It wasn't about expensive outings or games or presents. But the second thing was it inevitably involved the parent.
That's nice.
And I mean, that's what that makes me, that's what it takes my mind when I look at those bibs of, that's not expensive to go out on the bike.
No.
But you remember it because
you might have had
your mum and dad
were
there.
If we were lucky. But yeah, you're right. That family connection.
So tell us the third item then, please.
Oh, third item is a bit, it's even more random. It's, I had a ticket, but it's actually, I just wanted to, emphasize how your relationship with your children very much changes as the years pass. You know, to begin with, you are the god in their eyes. I'm sure they do everything you say and everything you want them to, and then they change and you change and you have separate, more separate lives. And we have very separate lives, but very involved lives. We live within walking distance of each other, which is quite bizarre. And we do enjoy doing things and going out together. At Christmas, Rex had a quiz and it was a question for the women in the family, so four of us. What would your favourite thing to do on a Sunday afternoon would be? We all wrote down what we thought. They were all identical, weren't they?
And what was the answer?
We liked to go to the beach with the dogs and have a pub lunch. And that was everybody's favourite thing to do on a Sunday. And Jake introduced us to Matthew Bourne because he lived next door to one of the Matthew Bourne dancers at one time. And I'd never seen modern ballet. I didn't think I was particularly keen on ballet with tutus and, you know, little headdresses and things. Matthew Bourne's ballet at Sadler's Wells, Swan Lake, wasn't it?
Yep.
Blew me away. I think I've only seen it three times, but we've seen all the ones that come to the, and they come to the theatre in Norwich, and they are just wonderful. And it's sort of things like that that we have really enjoyed and passed on our appreciation of different things. I would perhaps never have gone.
It's weird. You end up learning from your kids in some way.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's sort of several things that I have done. I have ridden a motorbike in London. In the traffic. I would never have done that.
Go on.
We went to see Hamilton. Jake treated us, was it for a Christmas or a birthday or some special event, treated us to go and see Hamilton. And we arrived at the station and I assume we were getting on the tube. And he said, no, our transport's over here. I thought, oh, taxi. Quite nice.
Posh.
Anyway, there were just three guys standing there with motorbikes. I thought, what is going on? Here's your helmet. Well, it was the most exhilarating. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So, you know, older kids can be sort of your friends as well, your kind friends that do nice things for you.
Lovely.
I love that. Because that's such a... We were talking about this recently, Jake and I, where you'd seen something that resonated with you. Said it was somebody talking about success as a parent is when your children want to spend time with you, when they don't have to. And that's a really beautiful encapsulation of it.
It is nice. I mean, I think... There was a time when you felt a bit remote simply because you were based in London and we were all in Norwich. And there was always a little wistful, oh, we did that together sort of feeling. And you used to phone every day, didn't you?
Yeah.
When you lived in Norwich, a day didn't go past without a quick phone call from Jake, which all our friends thought, this is really weird that he should phone you every day. No, it's only a minute. It's only, hi, I'm all right. And you don't do that anymore.
because I live nearby and see them. I mean, my mum and dad have my kids after school on a Tuesday with every other grandchild. So they have seven grandkids on a Tuesday after school, which is quite a feat.
But I remember speaking to you once about this because you said, oh, I have to go. And it sounded to me on the other end of the phone like it was like a Swallows and Amazon sort of experience where the kids were climbing trees and possibly. They were sort of doing like, there was no tech involved. It was about just doing what it sounds like your three children experienced of being outdoors and just playing.
I like to keep them away from screens. It's not easy, especially when it's raining or, you know. I don't mind if they're playing together on a game, but actually I don't like it much.
So how are you different as a grandparent than you were as a parent?
Much the same, I would think, am I?
Yeah. I mean, me and my older sister, who's not much older than me, we were walking ourselves to school. How many miles? Two? Felt like two. I bet it blooming well is.
Well, perhaps it is, yes.
A couple of miles to school. I would have been, well, I left Peterborough when I was nine, so I'd have been seven or eight, six, seven, eight.
Right.
My sister would have been eight or nine, and we were walking. I mean, that's the same age now as Flo and Seb.
Yes.
I can't imagine Flo and Seb walking out of the front door, walking 2 miles to school, and you just assume you'll see them at the end of the day.
Mm.
But that was the way that mum and dad were and still are as grandparents. I mean, I once went to collect our kids after school one day on a Tuesday, and one of the grandkids was in a tree, and he said, I've been stuck in here for 20 minutes. I was like, I'll get you, dad, and you go in the house. But that's brilliant, because that doesn't, young sort of modern parenting doesn't let your kids do that.
I just think I'll hear. You know, if somebody, the little one does fall over a lot because he tries to keep up with his big cousins, and somebody just brings him in. You know, Joe is nearly 15, nearly 16. Oh, can't believe it. And they just look after each other. So you know if there's a problem, that somebody will come and tell. Eddie's got a wet foot, he's put it on the ice in the pond. And
I think they keep mum and dad young as well. Well, mum young, I'm not sure. But I think I think mum has a real awareness of getting older, don't you?
I hate it, yes.
She hates it. Mm. She has a sense of her mortality now.
Mm.
Like that feeling that, are you going to be at Francis's wedding?
I know,
probably not. Flo or Seb's, hopefully, maybe not.
Mm.
I get this constant sense from mum that she wants to pack it in now. She wants the kids to have memories of being at her house and impact them while you can.
Yes, I mean, you know, we don't spoil them. We don't do exciting things. They just play and we feed them. But it's very nice to hear, you know, the chat from parents as to what the kids have said about being with us and what they've done. And I just want the kids to relate to each other, know each other, be best friends.
I think you see that as your legacy. The cousins almost having a brother-sister relationship. Mm.
Well, they are my stake in the future, aren't they?
Let's ask a question about that, and I want you to overcome your natural self-deprecation and tell me, when your grandchildren are one day interviewed and they're asked to, like, tell us about your grandma, what do you want them to say about you?
Oh, I don't know. They loved me.
She's off again.
Well, there's nothing else to say to that, is it? That says everything.
Goes by quick. They will.
Goes by quick. They will.
Goes by way too quickly. Yeah.
So, Jake, let's build on that then and ask, when you think of your mum, what are the immediate thoughts that come to mind? What would you want?
The first thing is, and probably the most important thing, I would just say, as you can see today, she left it all out there. You know, very emotional. Her emotions run very close to the surface. But I think that's because she cares. Like, you can see the love for her dad still, who's been dead for almost 30 years. The love for her mother-in-law, who, like, you know, she clearly dearly loved. The love for her grandchildren. The love for her job being a teacher. The love for the kids that she taught for all those years. The love for my dad. The fact they've been together for so long. And, you know, he can be a tricky at times.
Only for a short time.
She left it all out there. You know,
right.
She let you know how she felt about you. There is, you know, when my mum finally isn't around, nobody will go, oh, I wonder whether she really loved me. I wonder whether she really cared. Like, we know how mum feels about us. And I think that's the most important thing.
So can we ask you some quick fire questions then in relation to...
How are you with quick fire?
I don't know.
Well, take your time and we'll see how we get on.
Okay.
What would you say then are the three non-negotiable behaviours for being a parent that you would like to pass on to listeners?
set a good example, listen to your kids, and I suppose being encouraging. Whatever they think they would like to do, have a go, give it a shot.
So what advice would you give to a teenage Liz just before she became a parent?
Oh, enjoy life a bit more. Be a bit braver, I think. I think to some extent it was circumstance. Living in the Fens, there's not much going on. But I would advise me to be braver.
What would you say is your greatest strength as a parent and your biggest weakness?
Greatest strength. I'm there. Biggest weakness. Can't you? You can think of this.
Oh, pointing out my mum's weakness.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. It's very hard to point out a weakness for your parent because...
Well, it is for yourself, isn't it? I can't accept that, you know, I haven't found a weakness and done something about it.
There you go. That's a nice insight into the way that my mum and dad have lived. I can't accept that if I'd have found it, I wouldn't have dealt with it.
You wouldn't have dealt with it, yeah.
It's a good one.
Will that do?
It was a great answer. There's no right or wrong answers. It's not a Tesla.
You know what I mean.
I do, and it's a lovely answer. If you could go back to one moment of your parenting life, what would it be and why?
I suppose we're a very chatty family. And if there was not an extra person round the table, it was unusual for, you know, most weeks there'd be somebody else, some other friend. I can't remember which friend when Dad got a ruler out and measured the pie so that everybody got exactly the same. Do you remember that?
An actual physical ruler.
Ruler, and it was a round pie. And we had obviously extra person for tea. And he was measuring. But I think the general kerfuffle and hubbub round the table at meal times, and it used to get so, and still maybe sometimes still does. And do you remember whoever held the pepper pot, everybody else had to shut up and listen to that person to make the point they wanted to make. So those sort of things, sitting around a table eating together.
And when you've got little kids, or even little-ish kids like we have, sometimes it gets a bit much, doesn't it? Always people, always busy, always mad. I think that is a good lesson for these days. The house is quiet quick, isn't it? Before you know it, they're gone.
Yes.
And the house is silent. And you know, the one thing mum wants back is the madness every single mealtime.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is a good lesson for parents of young children now.
If there was a motto to describe your style of parenting, what would it be?
Oh, give it a go, I think. Whatever you think, give it a go. And if it's wrong, then you change it.
And finally, what would you say is your one golden rule for being a parent?
Always, always treat everybody with respect. I think make sure you involve everybody equally.
Thank you so much. Damien.
Jake.
Look, I know it's my mum, and obviously I think the world of her, and I really enjoyed that conversation, actually, although it's kind of strange in equal measure. But I really hope that for, you know, maybe for some young parents listening to this, for someone who's got children in their 40s, that they can learn from what my mum spoke about and remember, like, the power of connection is so important when it comes to parenting. Just being a parent isn't enough. Being a present parent is what matters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from my point of view, thank you. It was a real privilege to you and to your mum that you were prepared to both speak so candidly and honestly about it, about the highs and the lows of your experience and of being a parent. And it was that I said to you, mum, innit, that, like, when I became a dad, that I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't, my kids would probably say. But when I went on that course and understood that it was about, didn't have to be expensive stuff you did, it was about just being there and doing stuff with them, the power of being present is really important. And I feel I've lost sight of that along the way sometimes, where I've sort of gone and worked myself to a frazzle thinking that I'm doing it for my family. And it, like, for me, COVID was a big one, that because it forced me to be home, and it made me realise that the kids weren't bothered about what I was bringing in. They were bothered about me being in and being there for them. And I think listening to your mum was a powerful reminder of that for me as well.
Yeah. I mean, look at the three things that she chose to bring in her little carrier bag of joy, a photo of my grandparents. Well, that's not something that costs money or that you buy or that is material. And then three bibs worn by me, my brother and sister went out cycling. That is representing us being together as a family. And then the final one, which was a program for a theatre show that I took her to when I was a lot older. Again, it was not to do with the theatre show. It was to do with the connection. All of those things that she brought were about human connection.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's something there that any of us can recognise. You know, we always say that definition of high performance is doing the best you can where you are in the moment you're in. And I think that is exactly.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
What your mum said, that you don't need great wealth, you don't need great privilege, you don't need lots of advantages, you just need to care, to be there in the moment and be consistent in the way that you show up and show your love and affection.
Oh, and by the way, if you're a parent listening to this, or a parent to be, or you're a child of a parent, all of us are, you do feel like you're getting it wrong 99% of the time, right? Yeah. So have an understanding that that is kind of the default mode is, oh, I messed up as a parent. We all feel like it. And
Well, I was having this conversation with my wife recently because we were saying, even if you did everything perfectly, that would create issues in its own right because life isn't perfect. So when your children grow up and become an adult and they experience imperfections, they don't have the minerals to be able to cope with it. So it's not about getting it perfect. It's just doing the best job that we can at that moment in time. And like, I love that point your mum said, just keep talking. So sometimes admitting, you know, I cocked that up, I got it wrong. I think when I've done that, say with my son and daughter, and I've admitted, made a mistake, I wasn't the best dad I could have been for you. They're remarkably forgiving in terms of my own inadequacies or my own failings.
Well, look, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for steering the conversation so well.
No, it was a privilege, mate. Thank you for letting me do it.
Well, thanks as always to listening to this episode of the High Performance Podcast. I hope that it was an interesting insight into the way that I've been brought up and the lessons and the moments that have perhaps shaped the way that I see the world. And huge thanks to my mum as well. Very much out of her comfort zone coming on here and talking in that way. So hugely appreciated. And of course, without the great questions and the brilliant steering from Professor Damien Hughes, it wouldn't have been anything like it was. So thanks to Damien as well. And don't forget, for you listening to this, you can get even more from us. You can check us out on YouTube, or you can head to thehighperformancepodcast.com to see all the things that we're up to. Thanks for listening.